Last week, we started with Missions Emphasis Month. And I told you that each week you have a featured speaker, and it's going to be from our own body of believers. Today is going to be Dan Schonemeyer. Dan grew up in the church, served in the church all his life, probably went there before he even knew he was going to church with his parents. He's been dedicated to serving the Lord ever since. He has served here in leadership, but he also has led out in missions with us. He has taken a trip to Nicaragua and stretched and grew a lot there, but he also has led out and taken a trip down to Grundy Mountain Mission School. And next week, he's helping lead a trip to the same place. He's very passionate about what the work they do down there in Grundy. Dan's just a unique guy. We're great friends and had the opportunity to spend time together. So he was asked to come and speak, and I'll be honest, I'm stretching him again. A little bit nervous. So before he preaches, I'm going to ask Dan, come here, up here with me, and we'll open up this time with prayer for Dan. God and Father, I come before you this day just thanking you for my friend Dan. Lord, we have a great friendship over many years. I pray you be with him now. You give him strength, give him wisdom, clarity in speech, Lord, and boldness. Lord, allow him to bring the message you want to be given today. Use him as a vessel, and now the words to be yours. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Joby. I have to admit, that's a little weird, being introduced like that. I've preached several times. The most recent was on the trip to Nicaragua. That was a whole nother weird experience because I preached through a translator. And if you haven't done that, it's a challenge because it just breaks your whole flow of what you're trying to say because you have to stop so they can catch up. And I learned one very important thing on that trip. If you're speaking through a translator, do not use a poem, because poems that are written in English don't translate. They're just, he looked at that and he's like, don't do that. So that was fun. Prior to that, it was probably back in high school was the last time that I preached like this. So it's been a while. Let me back up a little bit on how I got here today, though. This summer, Joby called me and he said, I've got a deal for you. Yeah, that's what I thought. This ought to be good. He's like, I think you ought to be our mission speaker for VBS. Why? He said, well, the kids like you. Okay, the kids like a lot of people. That's not hard to do. He's like, well, our mission is the Mountain Mission School. And you've been there. And you have a passion for what they do there. And you'd be really good at that. Okay. We'll give it a whirl. And it worked out okay. The kids learned a lot. They got excited about it. We raised a lot of money for the school. And at the same time, we were planning this trip for next weekend. And when we talked to the school, they said, you can bring 20 people. We're taking 20 people. And there were more that wanted to go. So I think that's good, that there's enough excitement about it, that we've got a great group going. And it's going to be a good time and get these kids a new experience. So that's great. Our topic this week is education. So we're going to start out and we're going to do a little bit. My guess is that there are quite a few people in this room that do not know all the missions that this church supports. I'm just going to go out on a limb there. So let's go through some of them. We've got a couple of different categories and ways that we support different missions. Ones that we support financially are Mid-India, which is Jay and Romola Henry. They've been here several times. A lot of you have probably recognized that name. Another one is Christian Arabic Services. Most of you probably know that as Safa Fahmy in Egypt. He's been here many times. Those two the church has supported for a long time. Another one is the Living Water Church in Haiti, which is Solonique. He was here a couple years ago for VBS. And I think that's a more recent mission for this church to support, but we've been very involved. We've had several trips there. Got another one coming up that Terry West is leading, and that's part of why he's going to be talking about mission trips next week. Kentucky Christian University and Cincinnati Christian University. Well, those are a lot different than the other ones I've talked about. A little bit later, we'll talk about how they've got a lot of the same purpose. The Deaf Institute, right here in Cincinnati, started by Cecil Bennett. There's a few people here that know a little bit about that family because they're part of it. But that's right here in Cincinnati. TCI in the Ukraine. We've supported that organization for quite some time. Northwest Philippine Evangelism. Norval and Don Dina Campbell that used to attend here. A lot of you probably recognize that name. They were heavily involved with that organization. But those are different mission organizations that we support financially. Now, some others, the HERCO mission in Jamaica, we support them by sending work teams there. We've had several trips down there, and they focus on planting new churches. Latin American missions. One of the connections with that organization, Joby's on the board. So we've got a fairly strong connection there. They're in Spain, in Nicaragua, and in Paraguay. We'll talk a little bit more about that later also. And then another organization that we support by sending them supplies is Master Provisions. They're located here locally, but they ship clothes around the country to different countries that are in need, and they accomplish a couple of different things with that. So Michael and Alden Acoff are very involved with them, and there's a tub downstairs that we collect clothes in all the time to take to them. So, but one thing that I want to point out is we've listed all these organizations. Something key that I want you to remember is they are not just organizations. There are people that lead those missions. And they're people just like us, and they have their own needs and their own desires. But they're not just organizations. It's a personal connection that's needed with these groups. So let's talk about what some of the ministries that these groups accomplish. In mid-India, they have an eye hospital there that they see about 20,000 patients a year. J. Henry and his family are under constant scrutiny there by the government, by the police. Their lives are threatened. They get arrested. They've spent a lot of time in jail just because they're Christians and they're trying to win others to Christ, to teach them about what he's done for them. They operate a school there. The school is recognized and accepted by the government, and it's accepted by the secondary education system there as being acceptable. They take the kids from this school just like the other schools around there. You know, they're accepted. So on one hand, they're constantly scrutinized. They're constantly harassed by the government. And on the other hand, their school is of such high quality that they take their students without question. CAS, Christian Arabic Services in Egypt, you know, they're teaching leaders, they're printing materials, they have a conference center there used for Christian conferences. Again, Safa is constantly scrutinized by the government as to what's going on there. Living Water in Haiti, they've got a school there that started 6 years ago with 15 students. They've got over 550 students in that school now. They've got a farm. They've got a trade school to help teach people skills to get them into jobs. Poverty is rampant in Haiti, and having a job is essential. And they've got a program where they've got over 250 students in that program now. Kentucky Christian University and Cincinnati Christian University. Traditionally, their focus was to train ministers. Well, they've changed their status now. They're no longer colleges, they're universities, and they train people in lots of areas to be teachers, to be ministers of all different types, and many other areas that you can go to those colleges now, but they are all based, they're a Bible-based program. And so whether they're a minister or a leader or a church member, it's helping to build that foundation in them to help whatever congregation they're involved with at any level. The Deaf Institute, right here in Cincinnati, they train interpreters, not just for churches. That is one of their focuses, is to help deaf ministries get started in churches. But the interpreters aren't only for churches. People need those everywhere. And they educate people about deafness. Mountain Mission School. They take in students there whose families can't take care of them. They give them an opportunity to succeed in life. And virtually all of their kids graduate from high school. 90%+ of their graduates go to college. Now, these are kids that started out in the hole. I mean, they're in trouble when they get there. Not in trouble because they misbehaved, but just the circumstances their life is in puts them at a disadvantage. They get there, 90%+ of their kids go to college. The national average is 70. They're doing something right. TCI in the Ukraine, they're training church leaders in Europe. These are Europeans that they're training to be leaders in Europe. Sunday school teachers, athletic ministers, church leaders, church ministers. Northwest Philippine Evangelism, they operate a school there. So there's a variety of different ministries that these mission organizations focus on. And each one of those has their own needs. Each person has their own need. Each ministry has their own needs. Now, this is where it starts to apply to you. What I need to encourage you to do today is to learn about one of these ministries. I've listed a whole group, and I haven't gone into detail on all of them, but I've given you a flavor of what they're about. And what I'd really like to encourage you to do is learn more about one of those. There's something there that hopefully sparked an interest in you. I'm looking at Mike Ziegler. I know what Mike says. I've been to Grundy Mountain Mission School with him many times. And Mike makes many trips down there. You know, I mentioned that Mike Winalda are heavily involved with Master Provisions. There are a lot of people here that are already involved with an organization or with an individual. I want to encourage you to find that one that strikes a chord with you, that you can get passionate about. They all have their own needs, but any one of these missionaries that we've talked about, when they come here and speak, or when they're, you know, in their newsletters or on their website, the first thing that any of them ask for is prayer. They need money to keep the operation going, to continue in ministry, but they all understand that they have to rely on God, that they need our prayer and our support, and that keeps them encouraged, and they know that the financial side will be taken care of. As you get to know these different missionaries, you will encourage them. And I guarantee you that you will be encouraged in return. You know, we have these missionaries come in occasionally as they're in the States, you know, when they're trying to raise support, they're trying to renew contacts with churches or gain contact with new churches. And a couple that stand out in my mind when they were here, Jay Henry a few years ago, you know, was talking about one of these situations where he was being harassed by the police and by different extreme organizations there. And his comment was, the worst they can do is kill me. That's hard for us to grasp because we don't have to worry about that here. We got it pretty easy. We can walk in these doors right out there on the state highway and not worry about who sees us. You know, we're safe. Nobody threatens us when we come here. A lot of places in the world, it's not that way. They have to do everything in secret, or they end up in jail, or worse. And his comment was, the worst they can do is kill me. And then he doesn't have to worry about any of that anymore. He's gone to his reward. Kind of puts a different perspective on it than we're used to here. Another one was Saphah in Egypt. And you can question whether he did the right thing or not, but the point I want to make, they needed space. And they had plans to build this new building for classrooms and for a conference center and publishing space, and they just needed room. The ministry was outgrowing the space they had. And Saphah saw that building costs were going up fast. And he didn't have time to get the churches in the U.S. mobilized to raise the money to build that building. So what did he do? He went to the bank and got a loan, a personal loan, to get that building started, to lock in the cost of that building, because they had to have it to continue the ministry. He felt called that that's what they needed to do. He went to the bank and borrowed the money in his name. And then he got a hold of the churches here and said, I need help. Here's why I did what I did. I know it's not normal, but I have faith that this is the right thing to do. Help me out. Then the building's built and being used. But that just really demonstrated the faith that he has. Like I said, we have it really easy here in the U.S. We kind of take things for granted. And when you look at missionaries in other parts of the world, they don't have that attitude. They rely on God for everything. They don't take anything for granted. They don't take the support that they get from here. They don't assume that it's coming. They have faith from God that he will take care of them. But that attitude is not just in other parts of the world. And for me, one of the big examples is Mountain Mission School. The teachers in the school and the people that run that organization, many of them live in the dorms and watch over and take care of the kids that live on campus. So when they leave work at the end of the day, they go to work. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, occasionally they leave, but for the most part, their life is raising these kids that are not their kids, but they treat them like they are because they want them to have the opportunities and they want them to know Christ. And they demonstrate that to those kids daily. So, again, what I encourage you to do is find one of these individuals, one of these ministries, and dig into it and find out everything you can about it. Find out how you can get involved with them. One of the things that may happen is you may want to go see them. One of the things that may happen is they may beg you to come see them. We've had different missionaries here. Saphah, I know, has relationships with people here for years, and I have heard him beg individuals to come see him. And it's not so that he can show them what he's doing. It's so that he can show them what's being done because of their support. It's personal to them. And they want you to experience what they're accomplishing because of your help. You will be an incredible encouragement to them. They will become an incredible encouragement to you. You will begin to anticipate what their needs are. And you'll develop a trust. You know, the way I thought of relating this is if you stop down here at BP to get gas, and somebody pulled in next to you, and they got ready to pump gas, and they realized they didn't have their wallet, and they're almost out of gas, and you don't know them, and they say, hey, you know, can I get some money? I don't have my wallet with me. You're going to be a little skeptical. You know, a lot of people would, because is this a scam? Is this a game? You know, are they trying to play me here? But if a friend of yours pulled in and that was their situation, you would help them out without even thinking about it. So when there's a list of missions that we support on our website, and that's something that the mission team takes care of here at church, you know, they pick them, they determine how we're going to support them, they schedule those trips, they do this, they do that. It's really impersonal. You don't know much about them. But as you begin to learn more about them, you become part of their support, you as an individual, you as a family. It's not just something that somebody else does and my money helps there, but it's something that you become actively involved in. So that's my encouragement to you today, is that you would find one to become actively involved in. This was not a particularly evangelical message, but every week we want to offer an opportunity. You know, we've talked about examples today of these missionaries around the world and here in the U.S. that have given their life to this cause, to teach others. If you don't know Christ, if he's not your personal Savior, now is the time that you can come forward and accept him. We have elders here. We have staff here that 'd be glad to talk to you about that. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer concerns, something going on in your life that you need some prayer for, come on up. We would love to pray with you. If you want to join this congregation, make this your family, now is the time. Please come forward.